a chapter that I will eventually in this message get to. I'm preaching today, this morning, on the subject of convenience or consecration. That which is routine can become monotonous. However, the routine functions of life are necessary and are very basic to all aspects of life. A sportsman, such as a runner, will find practice running very routine. And though they may enjoy the exercises performed to strengthen the body, they can become a boring performance. However, the thrill and excitement of crossing the finish line first or even second cannot come without that routine. A salesman who contacts potential customers day after day, giving the same sales pitch, place after place, the routine he cannot give up. Because if he does not perform the routine, he will not get the Salesman of the Year award and the bonus that goes with it. A student must plod along with daily assignments, doing the average routine of homework if they're going to know the thrill of an A or B at test time. The person who looks for all of life to be a circus of excitement will soon be greatly disappointed and likely give up whatever his or her project is. And then they'll move on to something else in order to capture the thrill of that thing. The thrills, the excitements, the big rewarding experiences come as a result of faithful performance in the routine. It's not luck or a lucky break. It's work. In the realm of Christian living, which is intended to affect all areas of life, the routine is also vital. If you're living your Christian life always wanting it to be a mountaintop of excitement, you're going to be one, or you have been one, disappointed person. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it half-heartedly? Oh, no. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. The motive of our service is the Lord. And that's something that we must keep in view. Whatsoever ye do. Yeah, he said that after verse 1 and 2 of this chapter. He says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. And then in verse 3 and following, he develops that thought of seeking Christ first. And that seeking Christ first is a recurring emphasis of the scriptures. And he says there, if ye then be risen with Christ. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Well, then if you are, seek those things that are above, those things like God wants, those things that please God. Now, that doesn't mean that you live in church 24/7. That doesn't mean all you do when you're at home is sit and read your Bible. It's not talking about being a religious nut. It's talking about your life being completely influenced by Jesus Christ. And so when you might think to tell a white lie, you don't. Because Christ didn't color lies. A lie's a lie. And so you tell the truth. But if I tell the truth, it's going to... So you take the consequences. All too often, the everyday mundane duties are put off until a more convenient time. And that, remember, is what we're dealing with. Convenience or consecration. Put off to a convenient time. Why? Well, they aren't exciting to do. The long-range results aren't quickly seen, and so people get bogged down on the routine matters. Because those routine matters just don't seem to appeal. The fulfillment of the everyday routine requires a responsibility that exists because of consecration. Convenience performs duty according to circumstances and emotions. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Convenience performs duty by circumstances. If I have nothing else to do, or if I have nothing else that I'd rather do, then I'll do my duty. Then I'll do the routine. Convenience performs duties by emotions. If or when I feel like it, then I'll do it. No, my friend, that's just convenience. And we're to have a life of consecration, performing duties based on a commitment to God, on a willing desire to fulfill the needs or the obligations of any given area of life. I have a responsibility to set a watch before my eyes that I don't look at anything that is impure, that is not wholesome, that is wrong. Now, I must have a consecration for that. What is the basis of your living for Jesus Christ? Is it convenience or is it consecration? When people first get saved, they are enthused by the new and different life. New and different life that they found in Christ. That usually puts them around additional people than what they've been around. But a person soon comes to realize that there are routine, ordinary aspects. And so after the newness of the Christian life wears off, sadly, so does much of their involvement with being a Christian. The desire and intended way is that the initial weeks and months of Christian involvement, what the person learns about living the Christian life by watching other Christians, by hearing the Word of God taught, the desired goal is that that person will grow spiritually and they will begin to live now, not just by the influence of the people of the church, but they'll begin to live by their consecration to Christ that they learned by the observance of other people. But sad to say, what is the intended way? It seems anymore doesn't happen very often. Consecration is a deeper working of grace in a believer's life, deeper beyond that of the new birth. I'm not talking about a second work of grace. It's the same grace that saves, but consecration takes it from the salvation experience and grows it, if you please. Peter did say, grow in the grace and knowledge. It grows it to a better level. Consecration is a more serious walk with Christ by the believer. More serious than what they've had. More serious than what some others are that they may be involved with. Because they're not looking at a convenience Christianity. They're looking at being consecrated. Consecration places Christ first. Before what I think, before what I would like, before what's comfortable to me, what's interesting to me, I'll put Christ first. And you know, when you get a new life in Christ, being saved and growing in grace, you get new desires. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us, doesn't it, that He will give us the desires of our heart. When our goal is to be consecrated, God will begin to work in us. And things we once thought we couldn't live without, no longer now is a problem. But you see, before you get to the point of determining that you're going to put Christ first, that you're going to be consecrated, before knowing that with the head, you've got to get it in your heart. How does a person know that Christ is really first in their life? How do you know Christ is first in your life if you claim that He is? Now, some of you, I know you don't claim that He is. But those of you that claim that He is first in your life, how do you know, really know that He's first in your life? How does a person evidence to others that God is in control and is coming first before all else in their life? You see, what a person thinks about him or herself, or what they say about their commitment, that must be verified by their actions that they take. When a Christian's heart is right, their actions will be right. The actions of how they use their time, the actions of how they use their abilities and skills, or of their material wealth, their treasures we often refer to. Jesus, speaking about the scribes and Pharisees, said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So you see, it's a matter of the heart. Now we must know with our head and our mind what is right. But it's a matter of living by the heart, because that's what we do. You want to know where you're at? You just look at your heart. Now listen, I'm not talking about here in this building, because we all put on our Sunday best. And I'm not talking about clothing. But at home where you live, the place where you work, if you're on, for example, a bowling team or something of that sort, and how you live there, that's how you are. Yes, don't deceive yourself to thinking that how you are here in these pews is how you are. No, how you are at home,
yes. Amen.
How you are at work, yes, that's how you are.
Exactly.
That's what you are. Activity is not synonymous with consecration. But a consecrated Christian will be actively involved somewhere in the Lord's work. Attendance is not synonymous with consecration. But a consecrated Christian will be faithful to the services of his or her church. Tithing, giving financially to the Lord's work is not synonymous with consecration, but a consecrated Christian will give to the Lord's work. You see, a person can do these things and not be consecrated. But a Christian cannot be consecrated and avoid these things and other matters like that. What we do evidences what we say. You trying to convince yourself when you build yourself up as some spiritual giant? Who are you? You've been in conversation with somebody when they've been talking, and you have you said or heard somebody say, well, who are you trying to convince? Meaning they're trying to convince themselves. Oh, what we do evidences what we say. Consider the matter of prayer for a lost person, and there may be someone for whom you have been or are praying. And what have you done? Or have you done what you could? A common prayer when somebody has a burden for an individual is, Lord, send someone to tell them about you. Have you considered that it might be you?
Yes, sir.
He wants to send? Well, I don't know what to say. Did you get saved? That's a good place to start. Just tell them what you did. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes time to build a good testimony for Christ. It isn't something that just happens. A good testimony for Christ isn't something that comes just by living another year, another 2 years for Jesus Christ. A Christian must consciously, deliberately work at being a good Christian every day, all day, in everything. I have an old nature just like you do. I meet things in daily living just like you do. And I have to make a conscious choice. Now, I expect it's true of many of you, like it is of me. I'm going to really make this good, okay? 95% of the time, I just do what's right. But there's that other 5% when something I'm experienced, I've got to make a choice. And I don't have to think about it. The Holy Spirit who lives within me, he reminds me of it in different ways at different times. And then I must consciously make a choice. Okay? Hey, we hear a lot of talk in our country right now about one percenters. Okay? Meaning the super wealthy. Or the one percenters. I've heard that applied, you know, in other matters. You know, a one percenter. Well, are you a 100%er? Yield not to temptation. We must make the right choice all the time. And the same is true of a local church. It takes time, it takes work, it takes effort to build a good testimony as a church. It isn't something that just happens. Why did you first begin to live for the Lord? Basically, it was because it was right. When you got saved, it was the thing that you knew you should do. And it pleased God. And it was a good thing to do. Well, then keep it up. If it was right when you first got saved, it's still right. God didn't change any of that. If necessary, take it back up. In other words, if you got away from it, well, start doing it again. It's going to please God. You want to learn something? You're going to be happier.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. I'm going to really be happy.
No, I mean that inward misery that you have.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to be changed. This is true of personal daily living. We call them devotions, your Bible reading and prayer time. It's true of witnessing. Boy, when we first put those track rack up, we put tracks in it. Man, they were running all the time. Now I don't have to hardly fill them in anymore. There aren't lost people where you shop. There aren't lost people where you pay your bills to, or wherever it is that you gave tracts out. They've all gotten saved. Yeah, right. Okay. What about kindness and helpfulness and controlling? You know, there was a time when we first got saved that we controlled the tongue. And then after we sort of settled into this matter of Christian living, and, you know, then we let this slip, we let that slip, and we turned the air blue. Oh, excuse my French, you know. It's not French. It's sin. Because it comes out of the mouth of somebody whose temple God lives in. So many things. I just illustrate with those. And this is true of the service of a local church. It's dangerous. A church needs to have a routine so that the people who attend it know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, so they're comfortable in it. But it's a dangerous thing when we're satisfied with just the routine. Listen, it's what happens in the routine. That's important. Why did you begin to associate with Black Creek Baptist Church?
Oh, I was born here. See that pew there? Those marks on it's where I teethed.
Yeah. A good number came a lot more recently. Why did you associate with Black Creek Baptist Church? Why was Black Creek Baptist Church begun? Wow, soon 200 years ago. And I know that the name over the door through the years has changed, but listen, here, there was a group of people for multiple decades. Why did they begin the church? Because there was a need for a local church in Black Creek, not only the village, but the area, that has a right biblical position and practice. People worked to strengthen the church in that which is right in the sight of God. And the continuance of a strong local church requires the continuance of that work, that effort, that dedication, that determination, that sacrifice that established the church. Listen, this idea, well, whether I come or not doesn't really matter. It matters.
Yes, sir.
And it matters to you, first of all.
Good.
You want to really know something? You can be replaced. Not one of us is indispensable.
Yes, sir.
But it matters to you. And it matters to the church.
Yes,
so many people, oh, I love the church. Oh, I'm so happy with our church. Just watch.
That's right.
Just watch. Watch the attitude in action.
Yes, sir.
You'll find out if it's so.
Right.
There needs to be a consistency and a faithfulness. What was or is the motivation for a person in their Christian living and in their service? A new experience, in the beginning experience, we're usually excited. I know I was. My lands, when I got saved, you know, everything was different. And I remember a time when I had to come back to that. Because in other words, I had gotten saved and I lived for the Lord, and then I backslid. And people who knew me, some of them didn't even know that I was a Christian, because, you know, I wasn't advertising it then. I was happy that they didn't know I was a Christian. But then the Spirit of God convicted me, because people were praying for me, and especially my wife. They were praying for me, and I rededicated my life. And when I came back to the Lord, it was like a new beginning. And I remember sitting and reading the Bible. Wow. I didn't even really do that much when I first got saved. But now I was reading the Bible. Long-term living. Long-term living is more routine and hence demands more dedication. It demands more strength. It takes more consecration. And I really am not feeling mean. But some people aren't dedicated and consecrated because they're spiritual wimps. I mean, they can't do it. They don't have the fortitude to do it. Now, I know God does it in us. God does it through us. But some people just don't do it because they don't have it. There is a definite relationship between the head and the heart. And the heart meaning the inner man. A definite relationship between the head and the heart in Christian living and service. There is also a fine line of distinction. Many times a person knows the facts of doing right with the head, but they fail to be motivated with the heart in whatever area it may be. Witnessing, serving, living in with their family. Black Creek Baptist Church began, and it demanded an amount of time. Listen, this church wouldn't be here. You hear me? This church wouldn't be here if people just did it by convenience. You say, well, there were a lot of people, they just had a religious routine and they just kept it going and that's why it's here. You think they were the ones who kept it going? Listen, it isn't the ones who just go through the routine. It isn't the ones who just do what ought to be done that keep any kind of church going. Mm-mm. It's the ones who love the Lord. And they want to see the church where it's at because of the testimony and the witness that it is. And those of you that are from this church know what I'm speaking of. Pastor has often referred to the time when he and his family stopped, I guess it was a Wednesday night, I think, whatever day of the week, doesn't matter. And there were only a few here. And those few had gotten to the point where they decided, they guessed they were going to have to close and lock the doors. They didn't want to. And they didn't need to. Because you see, their heart was there. And they wanted what was right in their heart. And that was no coincidence that Pastor stopped by. Huh?
That's right.
You see the picture?
Yeah.
You see what was happening that couldn't have been detected on the surface? Convenience? Brother Dick Harbeck has his 91st birthday today. 90. 90th birthday. Wow. He's not able to be here, but he still loves the Lord. Brother Paul Gordon sitting back there. He has to use oxygen when he comes, and he can't do near what he used to do. But you see, there were people. It wasn't convenience. It wasn't really very convenient at all to keep the church going. And you want to throw another letter C in there? Because we have convenience, we have consecration, we have commitment. Okay? And it's not a coincidence. It was costly. Half dozen people keeping the church going. I bet you put in more than $5. I'm looking over there because Bev and Sandy are sitting there, and there's some of them. And Paul, do you put in more than $2 or $3? Yeah, sort of. You know, it costs something. It costs something dollar-wise. It costs something. We want to see this church here. You like the church comfortable. You don't want to see the church falling apart. It costs something. It costs something out of a wallet like I'm holding. Oh, and by the way, we don't take credit cards. It costs something. But it also costs something. You know, frequently the trustees say we have this, that, and this. Like right now, I don't imagine the plexiglass has been put over. Has it?
Yeah, made attempt.
Okay, praise the Lord. God bless you. He will. Okay. Blessed him too. May as well throw him in that. We'll share that blessing with him. He needs lots of blessings. Yeah, that plastic needed to go over there. Did they have anything else that they could have done or would have liked to do? I would imagine they did. And let me tell you something. A lot of you younger guys need to step up because
yes,
a lot of us older guys just, we are not able to do what we used to do. One lament you'll hear from older guys is that it takes me twice as long to do what I'm doing.
Yes.
I don't know what happened. I don't understand it. Yeah, we understand it well. On the dear ladies that work in the kitchen. Just all around, there's always something. Now, is it convenience or is it consecration? Well, obviously, it ought to be consecration. You're intelligent people. I'm a halfway intelligent preacher, and therefore you come another week and you hear the other half. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful great love.
If it were not for